Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Speaking this morning with ECR's Andrew Haythorpe and Adam Jones. Andrew, Adam, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Good to be catching up this morning. Adam, look, firstly, some much-awaited results out this morning here on the recent Creswick soil sampling. Just firstly, remind us where the sampling was done, what these results are now telling us and suggesting.
Yeah, so the recent soil announcement. Soil results we've just announced they're from about 500 meters east of the Dimmicks main shale, which is where traditionally ECR has been exploring for the last 3 or 4 years, and that's where all the drilling from 2021 was completed. And then so we're just looking at potential parallel mineralized systems or gold systems. These soils are the first of a series of batches, the results are looking very positive and strongly looking like we have something to be following up on in the new year.
And following up how, Adam? What are the plans?
Yeah, so we're going to define a little bit more with some more weighting results from the soil geochemistry, I'm putting in plans to get the permits in place to follow up with some drilling. So I'm anticipating to get that sort of in place in the first quarter, hopefully in next year.
And Andrew, your thoughts here on the soils?
Well, very encouraging. Simply the more mineralized lodes that we can identify and find as the potential source for that historical alluvial production that was recorded over a century ago, and we're talking several million ounces, allegedly, to find the primary source or sources of where all that gold previously came from is extremely encouraging. And then, of course, more recently, some of the work that Adam and the team have been doing in Victoria, where we upgraded significantly the previous results simply by using an improved sampling method. Which does take longer and it does cost more, but the results certainly speak for themselves in terms of uprating the prospectivity of the target. So if you put all that combination of things together, it really does uprate the potential value of Creswick and our opportunity at that project site.
Adam, just sticking briefly with Victoria, recently a couple of tenements granted. Just remind us a bit about the significance of these.
Yeah, so we've just had further tenements to the west of our current Ballaston tenements approved. And we had three in application in the area there. So we've had two of them just approved, which we announced last week. The significance is that it's west of the Blue Moon trend where we're currently drilling and exploring. It just opens up the possibilities. The world's our oyster, so to speak, around Ballaston. And, ECR was lucky enough that they applied for the ground before the current mineral boom in Victoria. And now we've got first rights to get in there and start looking at the potential there and start doing get some boots on the ground, so to speak.
And there is a tenement we're still awaiting to be granted for Creswick, is there?
Yeah, that's correct. So we've actually got... there's actually three tenements still awaiting final approval before we start work. So we've got one just to the east of where we've been working at HR3 in Ballaston. And we've also got one in between the two current approved tenements in Creswick. So once we get that final tenement in Creswick approved, that will allocate about 10 kilometres in strike all the way back to just the north end of Ballarat there. So, and that will be made available to start work immediately.
Have you had any conversation or notification from them around possible timing of the granting of these tenements?
We've got tenement managers who we liaison, and they liaison with the government. How it works here in Victoria is that roughly once every couple of weeks or a month, the government has a tenement committee. They go through where the current application statuses are up to, because there's a lot of background paperwork that the companies have to supply satisfy the requirements. And all the paperwork's been done. And I had been told that, if certain things were put in place by last week, that it's probably likely around the Christmas time that we might hear an update on those last remaining tenements. However, I'd say that the current, what's happening here in Australia, you know, everybody's starting to shut down for Christmas holiday. So I'd say that I don't think we're going to hear till probably after the new year when everybody's back in their office on the outcome of those other tenements.
A bit further north, Adam, in Queensland, bit of news the week prior on Lulworth, visible gold occurrences, pegmatites observed. Tell us a bit about this.
Yeah, so I went up into, I actually visited our Lulworth project in early November. I was up there for a week, helped out doing a lot of the stream sediments up there, and just had a look at the general ground. And I observed pegmatites all throughout the tenements, especially around the sort of the Gorge Creek area. You know, just in the short amount of time we had up there, you know, I mean, I couldn't sample everything or whatever, but it's given me a lot of faith in the area. And yeah, it's all underexplored. Previous explorers who had the area, you know, lithium and all these critical minerals and metals were not even thought of back then. You know, it was either silver, lead, or some gold. So there's a lot of missed opportunity there. And yeah, we're happy that we're the first ones in there. And we're going to give it a good have a good look at it.
And Andrew, even from day one, you saw the potential of Lulworth.
Yeah, well, I was simply astonished by the number of visible gold occurrences that had been recorded by previous explorers in the stream sediment sampling programs that they did, I think, in the late 80s. And that's explained the lack of follow-up is explicable by probably the 1987 gold boom and gold bust coming along, where the previous operators had done some great work, found some great results, never followed up. And then since then, you know, really Queensland's gone into a bit of a quiet sort of period of time for probably 30 odd years, where there hasn't been a lot of exploration effort or a lot of exploration success, therefore hitting the news. So when Adam sort of showed me what we had up there and the previous data and the reason why he selected that ground, which is just out of the back of Townsville, which is fairly civilized. Well, it's an unpopulated part of the country, but it's only an hour and a half, 2 hours sort of due west, southwest of Townsville by road. So relatively speaking, it's quite civilized. And then there's not just gold occurrences that were recorded. There's also black minerals suspected as cassiterite, also recorded, but not really followed up by the gold company exploring at the time. And then from a geological point of view, I've also previously worked a long time ago in exploration geology, sort of in that area in North Queensland. And yeah, there is an abundance of mineralization styles, both in gold mineralization, you know, the big porphyry styles like Mount Lation, the big epithermal gold veins like Vera Nancy and Bajingo, the big breccia pipes like Kidston, and then VMS-associated gold, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of different gold hosts or environments where there's been some very successful mines discovered and operated in the last 40 years. So with something like 900 square kilometres of what I would say is very prime geology with prime indications of mineralisation, and no one's done any work on it. So, you know, ECR is the first company to come along and say, well, hey, this is pretty exciting. Let's get stuck into it and give it the attention that it's due. And touch wood, I think, you know, the early indications are way in excess of what I would have hoped for, you know, in terms of observing pegmatites on the ground, because step one for finding lithium pegmatites is firstly find the pegmatite, and then secondly, assess it, you know, particularly for the mineral spodumene. And so that sort of assessment can happen once you've located the pegmatites. And then there's sort of, you know, we've got to go back and follow up that reference to cassiterite or tin as well, just as a matter of, you know, being professional. And then we've got all of the gold occurrences, which can be shedding from multiple gold sources, and we need to identify those primary sources. The fact that Adam and the team's done such a great job in such a short period of time in this field season, just prior to the wet season commencing a few weeks ago, again, is very encouraging. So it's very much a watch this space, and we'll be working hard on progressing this as rapidly as we can next year.
I want to get back onto that in a moment, Andrew, in terms of what's planned. But sure. Adam, current activity, blue moon, How's the drilling going there?
Yeah, the drillers are just finally just finishing off the last of the four drill holes. It's been a little bit slow the last month. We actually hit a fair bit of broken ground in our drilling, some faults and that, which could also be a good indication too for mineralization. Geologists always like faulted and broken ground. But all the signs are there from a visual point of view. The alterations there, we've got sulfides, we've got as expected. Just want to remind the four drill holes that we announced that we were drilling, what we actually were doing is to test for the continuous, the continuity of the mineralization to the west from the 2019 RC drilling. While we had the opportunity there, we wanted to just to test to see how far it went in strike to the west of it. I think that the drilling we've just finishing up today, it should be the last drill hole there for releasing the results there. I think we drilled probably a good 200 meters to the west in strike from the 2019 drilling. So I'm excited to see what the actual results come out. Following up from that would be I'm planning on in the new year heading back into the vicinity of the 2019 drilling, and we're actually going to put our diamond drill rig in there and follow up doing some twin holes, and we're going to also drill in between and do a little bit of infill drilling between some of the better grades from 2019.
The assay turnaround has been remarkably long. Is there any alternatives? Is there anything ECR yourself are weighing up in terms of being able to improve the efficiency here?
The biggest delay recently has just been for the stream sediments and the soils, which we use a different lab. The laboratory is interstate, so by the time it gets there, and then it's taking like a good month sometimes just to get at least them starting to get them processed. However, alternatively, we found a local lab right here next to our in Bendigo, and we've actually contacted them, and the soil results released for Creswick were actually done through them. And we've done our checks and balances there, and everything's checking out right. They're promising us within 10 to 14 day turnaround. And yeah, those soil results were, we got the results within that time frame. So we'll be using for all our soil geochemistry around Creswick and all that, those type of programs going into the new year, we're going to be using the local lab. And so I'm hoping there's going to be a bit more continuous, results coming out, and
I'm
and we'll
sure
be announcing them as they come out.
that'll be welcome news to our investors. Andrew, last week we raised £900,000 here. Just tell us a little bit more about the timing, why it was done now, what it means in terms of moving forward for ECR.
Yes, we've got two factors that sort of came into play. One is asset sales have been slower than what we hoped for, and again, ironically, with regards to two potential property divestments in Victoria, freehold property. That's effectively been held up again by the flooding and lack of access from a buyer's point of view, as well as, of course, interest rates rising and concerns about inflation and the bigger picture economically, which is, of course, a global phenomena, not just Victoria. And similar on some other another non-core asset that we've been attempting to sell. Again, that's been much slower than what we would have hoped. So on that side, we had those sort of forces at play. On a positive side, on the good news front, well, we've had the sort of results that we've seen coming through with both Victoria and Queensland at the same time. And then we've actually added to the portfolio with the Hurricane Project acquisition late just a few months ago as well. So on a geological and the job of finding gold and identifying potential commercial deposits, the outlook I think for that is improving each month as we move by and each week as we get new results come through and get better data, which Adam's discussed. So on the other side is we want to actually spend more money on being more aggressive on our exploration and finding more things of value more quickly. And then you have things like the pegmatites that we mentioned earlier as well, sort of potentially moving into the picture next year. We'll have to have a look at those and see if there's any economic benefit or value there as well. So we really wanted the company to be in a cash position where it can actually move forwards with the business plan of finding and developing something subsequently.
You mentioned Hurricane, Andrew, what are the initial steps here next year?
Well, we've got our sort of due diligence phase, which we've mostly completed. And now it's the wet season, of course. So with the wet season in North Queensland, we don't expect to actually get on the ground until May or June in terms of clearances and selecting drill pad locations and then putting in drill pads and start drilling. So best guess at the moment is middle of next year we'll start drilling. And that gives us a few months window to put as many holes into as many of these mineralized gold veins and antimony as well, and see what's there. We might also get the opportunity to walk the ground and sort of find some more gold vein discoveries, which again have thus far not been identified. So we've got lots of good things to do there. It'll be a fairly intense period in that July, August, September period. And then really all things going well, which we hope they will, we'd look to exercise the option, complete the deal, and then it'll be 100% owned project within ECR, and potentially a beautiful complement to what we already have up there at Lulworth in Far North Queensland.
And of course, also in January, we'll be looking to, or at least in the new year, looking to take possession of that second drill rig.
Yes, that's true. So the second drill rig turns up in January. I haven't spoken with our sort of manager of drilling, but I would expect it would take a month or two by the time you fit it out with rods and all the ancillary equipment that's required. So there'd be a period of time required for that. Don't know how long. But again, that rig should be in the commissioning stage, deployment stage, just a nice timing in the first quarter of next year for us in terms of some of the activities that we're hoping to do. And again, that speaks to the recent £900,000 capital raise.
Well, Adam, back to you. As far as the first half of 2023, from an exploration perspective, what are your plans? What's the ambition?
My first ambition is just to complete the follow-up drilling in Blue Moon around the RC drilling. Hopefully expand that into start getting the inferred resource in there. Really, that's my main goal there. You know, before we move the rig out of there, I want to have some numbers in there if we can. That's probably my main goal going into, you know, probably hopefully finish that, the drilling there in by February. And then, like as discussed before, I've been making plans for permits to follow up drilling in Creswick, especially on these soil anomalies. That's probably one of my biggest pushes for the Victorian operations anyway, into 2023. Especially with that second rig coming, we'll have the option then, you know, we'll have two rigs. And so it'll be a bit more versatile, you know, where we can have one rig going while another one's operating somewhere else, or, you know, whatever, you know. So that's probably my biggest plan. So as Andrew said, I'm planning on getting pretty aggressive with the exploration next year, and I really want to get some numbers, especially around getting some numbers too, gold numbers around the Brewery Lane property, which ECR owns there. That's where, you know, there was some successful RC drilling done. And also the diamond drilling we did, you know, we had some of our best results right there on the edge of the property. And so that is going to be a big focus too. So because we're, you know, follow the gold, so to speak. So that's I'm excited for it, and can't wait to actually look at the rocks there.
Well, follow the gold, Andrew, as Adam says. Over the Christmas New Year break, why do you reckon investors should take a serious look at ECR?
No, it's very simple. I think we'll have a quiet period here, as is traditionally the case, Christmas New Year, especially with Australian activity, I guess. But even in the UK, I think the markets tend to go a little bit quiet during that period for obvious reasons. People shift their focus to family and friends as a priority. So as we come through that period, you know, there's not that much investment window opportunity. It's only sort of 10 days out of the calendar year, really, that we're talking. And then we've still got a lot of assays pending from the labs. So in terms of news flow, as we get back to work in January, there'll probably be some good results, touch wood, sitting in the inbox, so to speak. And the news flow will be kicking off with a vengeance come January next year in Victoria as well as Queensland, with still further samples to be received. And we'll have more to sort of say, I think, geologically as well about some of those opportunities in Queensland through the January-February period. And then, as Adam just mentioned, you know, drilling will be sort of moving from Blue Moon onto Creswick, maybe some further numbers coming out. And in terms of following the gold, you know, I think that's one of the most significant comments that Adam's made, is that, you know, seeing veins, tracing veins, new vein structures with visible gold in them. And I just want to highlight that that helps us enormously from an exploration point of view, because if you're seeing visible gold, you don't have to wait 4 weeks, 8 weeks for the assays to come back. Visible gold is good enough to keep working on it and following up and chasing that line of lode with sampling or drilling. So the fact that we do pick up those visible gold indications, it means that work continues on whilst we're waiting for assays. The only bit that's not so fortunate, of course, is it takes 6 or 8 weeks before we can release something through an RNS. But in the bigger picture of things, that's a small period of time and a small inconvenience. So I think we've got we've built a great foundation for the company, for shareholders this year, and I'm really looking forward to adding to that foundation next year and building us onwards and upwards.
Andrew, Adam, good to see you both. Thanks very much.
Andrew, likewise. And ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Andrew, and yes, Merry Christmas to all the shareholders and all the people watching.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.